So what kind of crafts do you like to do, Deb?
Craps, the ones you do on the toilet. Shut up.
I like sewing. I like tapestry best.
Hello, Daddy.
Yes. Hello.
Hello, Daddy.
Hello. Well, actually, I have got little Seth on my lap.
Oh, he's gone all Cher. Is that the sign of being a father and turning to Cher?
Yeah, that's exactly what you sound like.
Hang on. Is that better?
No. It sounds just like Kirby.
Is that better?
No.
Sorry, I'm having real problems. I've had to reboot twice. I don't know what's going on here.
That is better.
I've had to reboot twice. I have actually got little Zach here. I'm just crossing the bottle. And I've also got the lovely Dawn. Come on, Dawn. Come say hello.
Hello.
Hello, Dawn.
Hello, Mum, they're saying.
Hello, Mummy.
Take the headphones off me. Come on, take the headphones off me. Put them on yourself.
Hello, Mummy.
Hello.
Hello, Mummy. Hey,
we
can talk about Andy now and he won't know what we're saying.
Okay, yeah, everything went really well. We're just sort of recovering, but Jack's going to join in.
When you say we're just recovering, I presume what you actually mean is that you're just recovering.
Indeed, yes.
Well, he's recovering from a state of shock, I'm sure.
Yes, no. Oh, he absolutely rattles in it. He's been a dab.
He'll be fine.
Dr.
Water.
Yes.
So. Yes, he's on Piper. Charlie, Willy Wonka, and other children's gurus.
Oh dear, Dawn's gone a bit Cher.
Yes. A bit Cher, completely Cher.
A lot.
So, Kirby, that's what you normally sound like.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll leave it to it. I sort of enjoyed, but I found it's a bit strange, the episode last night.
Yes.
But I don't know whether I was a bit fed up because of the rugby, but there we are.
Also, that we had no sleep, aren't cool.
Oh, yeah, we had absolutely no sleep.
Okay.
Yeah, no sleep the night before, but we had better night's sleep last night. Oh, okay, good. Speak soon, folks.
See you soon.
Take care. Bye. Bye.
Some sleep.
And he sleeps, you sleep.
Yes, indeed. Okay, speak soon.
That only works for, that only works for the first one.
I know.
Yes. Okay. See you soon. Bye.
See you soon. Take care. Aw, lovely Dawn.
She's not bad, is she? I'm fine, yes. Yes, I'm settled here. I've got Zach in my lap.
I think we need subtitles for Andy.
Yeah, no, yeah, heard, ironic, I've heard it? All that fine.
That's Rich coming from you, Kirby.
The microphone's... Hang on, I've got to move the microphone around. It's only one hand.
Not the microphone.
I don't think it's the microphone.
No, I had real problems with Skype. It wouldn't boot. I had to reboot twice to get Skype to come. Hang on, Dawn's back again.
Where's it
got
to go?
Hang on, that's all right. That's okay. I think the connection is a problem. Okay, let's put that in. No, I had to reboot Skype twice to get any connection. It wouldn't come in at all. So is that any better?
It's getting a little better.
No, we'll live with it.
Sounds better to me.
Right.
So let's move the microphone around.
Honestly, it's not the microphone that's the problem. Your internet's all Kirby-ized.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. I'm actually going to buy that and have it on iPlayer.
You haven't already bought it?
I'll try again. Let me try again.
Okay. You're going to eye again. He's eyeing again, everybody.
Okay.
Hey, up, Chuck.
What do you mean? Is he gone?
He still says he's here.
Oh,
right.
Yes. Yeah,
pardon? Nope, didn't get a word of that.
But we're getting about every fifth word.
No, we'll just get every fifth syllable, Mary, not every fifth word.
I used to work as a dental nurse. It's quite easy.
Jason says he's not at home. I just
Oh, good. Kirby went Cher.
What?
You went Cher briefly. I don't know what's going on.
Oh.
Jason said that he is
I
not
heard that
oh,
bit.
Oh, you are, Kirby. You're starting to go Cher, too. The Deb does not lie.
Yeah, we should. Yeah.
She may tell her the truth, but she doesn't know.
Yeah. Right. Who won the quiz last week?
Andy. I'd listened to the one preview. I'd listened to our previous one.
There we go.
You've
got the excuses.
Reese,
you better sue her. Reese,
I'm
listening.
I wonder if we'll ever hear from Reese again.
Yeah, probably from his lawyers.
Oh.
He used to be the most prolific commentator on podcasts and Doctor Who forums in the world.
Yes, yeah.
That's when he was younger and stuck at home. You know, now he's out there. He's got
a life,
full social life.
Yeah, you see all the pictures. It's like, good for me. Yeah.
What's a social life?
Sat at home watching.
I know you wouldn't understand that term. Yeah.
What?
Mysterious girl.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, I've never heard of it either.
Right, anyway, I really do need to get going.
I know. Can we just give
him a second? Aren't we going to record?
Shush.
Give him a second. Come on.
Services, the Rossi at boob1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast episode 278. I like adventures, like the next man, if the next man likes adventures. And here's Deborah Melrose.
I really will come back and haunt you.
Mary Lang.
It's okay. I understand. You're an idiot.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
What are you telling me, big man?
And Daddy. No, he's not there. No shame.
He's trying.
He's trying, is he? Very trying. Oh, he's disappeared. Yes. He has disappeared. Well, we'll welcome Daddy later when he eventually reappears on the internet.
What's his name?
Andy Nunney.
Isaac Andy.
Andy Nunney.
Yeah, Isaac's name, full name.
Isaac Nunney, otherwise known as Zach.
Or Stormageddon.
Pardon? Master. Oh, Stormageddon, yes.
Stormageddon, well, I like that one.
Master?
Yes.
Jason says he can join us in 20 minutes.
Can he?
That's cool.
Well, I'm not hanging around for 20 minutes. Should he?
Yes, of course he should.
Oh, yes, okay. Of course you do. Yes. No, I'll see what I mean. Sorry, I didn't mean... Oh, never mind.
Well, in about 20 minutes, we're going to be doing the quiz.
Yeah. With any luck. Anyway, can I get... Oh, we have started, haven't we? Welcome to the show.
Yes.
Andy Nunney is a daddy. And funny enough, Lovely Dawn is a mummy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, Andy, as far as has inherited... a great gift from Kirby, his internet connection.
Passed it on.
So this show could be a little bit awkward, but we're going to try and do it nevertheless, because the show must go on, mustn't it, Kirby?
Excuse me.
Good grief.
No,
it's come up with a different problem.
Yes. This week we're going to be looking...
I choked on some Diet Coke, sorry.
Yes. This week, for goodness sake, we're going to be looking at a Doctor Who story called, I forget, Debbie, what's it called? Because I forgot.
Under the Lake.
Under the Lake?
Under the Lake.
Under the Lake, Under the Lake.
Yep.
Now, has anyone looked at maps of that area to figure out where this might possibly be?
Yes, somebody has, you, no doubt.
Yeah, I try.
Remember who you're talking to.
I don't know enough about that part of Scotland.
Well, are the lakes very, very, very deep, so you can't see daylight? Yes. Don't swear on the podcast.
Well,
I didn't swear on the podcast.
It doesn't appear to, from the view of, from the preview of next week, it doesn't look like it's that deep. So,
no,
we see the dam.
Yeah, when they were panning down to it, it shouldn't be that deep because when the dam.
Yeah. Yes, because it would only come up to the level of the dam, yeah.
Well, that's of vital importance to the world.
Yes, it is.
It is.
We want scientific accuracy here. Yeah. Here.
Ghosts, yes.
So anyway.
Ghosts, yeah.
Back to the story, which we haven't even started yet.
Well, I have a reputation to uphold by interrupting things. Yeah. At the very...
You don't have any problem upholding it. We visit underwater base where the one of the Enterprise's shuttlecraft appears to have landed.
Yes, it looks like that, doesn't it?
And they're like, no, it can't possibly be alien. Look at it.
And we have some what looks like Scrooge from one of the Charles Dickens books lurking in the shadows. And then he looks a bit more like, when you get him a bit closer, a bit more like a Wurzel Gummidge.
He does a bit, yes.
Sort of a homage to John Pertwee. There's some weird writing on the wall of the spacecraft. I mean, the Enterprise shuttlecraft. Was it Galileo? Wasn't that thing was what it was called?
It probably says Galileo in whatever language that it's hard to translate.
Yes, yeah. And, yeah, the crew are obviously investigating, but they're being watched by this mysterious...
Closely
figure.
By intelligences. Greater. Oh, never mind.
Yeah. And then the engines fire, and there's a horrible fire, and one of them gets killed. They all leg it.
Master.
What?
Master. The engines don't just randomly fire. The ghost appears and knocks the asshole guy.
Knocks the what?
knocks Pritchard.
Hang on. You really did say that phrase on my show?
I think he meant Esso.
No, he didn't. He's going to get something for that.
We've already had a swear from Tom.
No, Tom.
Later in the corner.
Tom is in the background, and I didn't hear it, so I'm going to let him.
Right, but I don't think he's pushing the guy out of the way. I think he's just sweeping his arm across that pattern on the wall, which
right,
did.
That's for Kirby. Minus one.
Told you I'd lose. Anyway, the ghost startles Pritchard. And he ends up touching the control panel and fires the real flame. There's a really good video online about how they did that.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen that. Anyway,
sorry, are we keeping you awake?
We have a deaf crew member. I suspect...
What'd you say?
Pardon?
I suspect that's because she might. Well, she was able to read the lips, wasn't she, of the. The
You're going ahead
later.
Of yourself
there. Well, I'm saying later, Debbie. Yeah. Anyway, right. So,
well, not only is a crew member, she's in charge.
Yeah, she was in charge
after the one guy dies. Yes.
She's got her own personal, interpreter who just
he doesn't seem to have any other job.
The interpreter. That's it. Yeah. She's got him as just his interpreter. She that. Important, you know.
Yeah, she must be.
Mm. So is something going to happen in the future with that?
That's a superb creepy moment, though, when he appears as a ghost.
Oh, that was creepy.
A few moments after getting blasted. And then the Doctor and Clara arrive, and Clara is really excited. She wants an adventure. The Doctor's not so excited.
Adventure. Excitement. Yeah. These things a Jedi craves not. Oh, sorry.
What? So they walk around what appears to be a freshly vacated base, and then they sort of bump into these ghosts and sort of talk to them, or try to talk to them. The ghosts don't attack them or anything. They just stand there looking at them, and they sort of think this is a bit weird. Hello. Hello, says the Doctor. Yes.
I thought they were on a different wavelength for a while and then realised when you find that they were talking about something else. But yeah, even though they're in real time doing
It looked like they were in another dimension.
It did.
Which
yeah.
I guess they are.
Yeah, for the first bit, I thought, oh, maybe they're running on a different, they're not obviously there in form, but maybe they're just running ahead or something. And I think I was reading too much science into it.
Yes. Yeah.
The Doctor and
also Master.
Yes.
Also, when the ghosts or whatever they are approach someone who has not seen the writing, they do not do the chant.
Oh.
I didn't notice that.
I didn't notice that either.
I just thought they were permanently moving their lips.
Not if you notice. Not when they're up against Clara and the Doctor in the first part, and not when what's his name, Lun, is being confronted by them.
Well, that's interesting, because if you notice, when the Doctor and Clara go into the spaceship and they look at the writing on the wall, that's when the bald-headed sort of ghost grabs some metal implement and attacks them with it. It was an axe. And then the other grabs those fire spears.
I have my axe.
Yeah, he has a harpoon.
Harpoon, that's it, yes. And fires it at them. And during this process, there's a little bit of a chase, and they end up in the Faraday cage with the rest of the crew. Everyone's gone quiet. I thought somebody might ignore me at this point. Somebody had something inane.
Raptly listening to you.
Yes.
Well, that's the first time that's ever happened. Goodness.
I do like the way the Doctor works out how long people have been waiting, have been away from the room, by putting his finger in a cup of tea.
Yes, I do like the fact that he uses his psychic paper to introduce himself as a member of UNIT. Yes. And that's what it says.
If that's what it says.
And then one of the girls says, I'm such
all like,
a big
oh,
fan.
We know who you are. Oh, yeah. The Doctor.
Yeah. Bearing in mind, it's about 200 years in the future or something like that, if I remember right.
Yeah, UNIT, I guess, is no longer a secret organization.
No, not 200 years in
the
future.
Well, they're military, so they probably know.
But like I say, this is 200 years into the future. Sorry, I've had a hard day at work.
We're keeping you up, aren't we?
Oh, I had a terrible day at work today. I got down there at 7:30 to open up. The automatic lock system would not let me in. So I tried to slightly prise the doors open because I thought they were jammed, set off the alarms, which went very loudly for about 20 minutes. And then eventually somebody came down with a key that would let us in. And it was just, you knew from then on it was going to be a terrible day. Anyway, back to the story.
Oh, poor Adam.
So, the Doctor is in full control of, he takes over as the leader, really, even though that woman's supposed to be the leader. He's the one.
Yeah, but they recognize his name from UNIT, and, he's a legend. So.
I love the bit where.
Master?
Yes.
Master. Everybody has their name on their uniform.
Well
except
done.
Except for the Vector Petroleum guy, okay. And he gets killed pretty quickly anyway.
Oh, yeah, well done, Kirby. Anyway, right. So I like the bit where
it makes it easy for identifying people.
Like when I can get my sentences out at some point during the show. I like the bit where the Doctor sort of doesn't quite say the right thing. So Clara says about the cards.
I loved that.
So he sifts through the cards in his pocket
slash
to come out with the right thing to say. This is where Clara and Capaldi's Doctor do fit together really well. Sorry, Mary, but they do. And then the lights go out because nighttime has started. And of course, once nighttime starts, the ghosts come out. And
you have to wonder about the electrical systems that turn on corridor lights. In series rather than all at once.
Yeah, well,
you are rather picky, aren't you?
It wouldn't be spooky otherwise, The spookiness is what we want.
Very picky.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then the cloister bell starts going dong. And all Doctor Who fans like the sound of the cloister bell. It's very. Mm-hmm.
We've got Roundels back in the control room.
Yep.
Ooh, excellent. So the Doctor goes back into the TARDIS and puts the handbrake on and shuts the TARDIS up. The TARDIS doesn't want to be there because it doesn't like the ghosts, because it knows the ghosts have some sort of timey-wimey element to them. So that's obviously fairly easy to work that one out.
I didn't like all this apologising between them in the TARDIS, but I did like the way that he said that he had a duty of care. I thought that was nice.
Yeah.
They sort of segue off for a bit, and I was like, please don't make this the Clara show again.
Really? Yeah, I was right there with you, yes.
And then,
Tom is very worried that next week is going to be the Clara show.
Why?
If it's a good episode, I don't really care.
It's going to be almost entirely in the past.
I hope so. Let's wait and see, shall we? Being, yes.
Anyway, so then we get the death of, and that was another really good death, actually. Because they don't realise he's dead, and they're talking to the ghost
and then he floats by
the window. That's really, really cool. I don't care what you said.
That was horrible.
Really good bit.
That was horrible.
Yeah, it reminded me a little bit.
I like that.
It reminded me a little bit of there was what's Doctor Who's story? I think it was the Dark Master Plan when the two bodies float past the window.
And oh yes,
Katarina.
Who with Tennant when they go to the what's it?
Waters of Mars.
42.
No, the black hole. Black, you know, when the planet.
42.
Black hole. That's not 42.
Is it?
Oh.
Not?
No.
And that girl.
The one with the ood, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is that the one where Martha's banging on the window?
Into space.
And,
yeah,
and the doctor says, I'll save you, but you don't hear him say it. You
I'm
just
sorry,
see
I'm so sorry, sorry, I'm sorry.
Mm.
Yeah. That's that.
You didn't like Tennant's Doctor, did you, Debbie? anyway, back to the story. Yeah, so that was a really cool bit. And quite gruesome as well. The makeup's quite similar
in
some ways.
I'm really surprised the ghost didn't just shut off life support.
Yeah,
that's what
maybe
I was.
Life support's got plastic switches.
It would be a very short story.
Maybe life support's got plastic switches. Excuse me.
Not a very efficient post.
Hello. Maybe life support's got plastic switches, and two, maybe they lead it themselves for one reason or another. Anyway, the makeup's quite similar to Waters of Mars, and I love the way that when the camera sort of pans round, you can see through their open eyes to the back of their skull. I think that's quite cool.
Yes.
I guess I didn't notice that.
You didn't?
You can see it mainly with Pritchard.
You can what? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can. And then so the doctor thinks up a way of catching the ghosts.
After the ghosts have sent by Morse code for a sub.
Yeah, by Morse code, yeah.
Yeah, why aren't they going, hang on, you're talking to us now.
Yeah, right.
I should probably look up the code number of the identification number of the doctor in case Adam decides to.
Well, there's an apple.
Use that as a. Yeah, there's an apple. There's always an apple.
Be quiet. So anyway,
I was right.
The doctor uses the crew and Clara to lure the ghosts into the Faraday cage. That's quite a grip. And then there's a chance a ghost is going to kill one of them, but it even raises the axe, doesn't it? And he just doesn't. So that's quite interesting.
Yeah, that was interesting. What was that about?
I like when...
It was almost like he recognised him.
Ah. You like him?
I like when they were going into... When the one guy was... What's his name? The guy who's not the translator... goes in to find the ghost to lure them into the Faraday cage. And one of them is on the ceiling and one of them's on the wall.
Yeah, no, that's horrible. Yeah, it's Bennett, isn't it? The one that's
okay,
not
Jason is on Skype.
Yay!
They won't tell him he's too late.
No, he isn't.
No!
Oh, Andy. Oh, he is there. He's here. Hello, Jason. Oh, no, he's not. Why is he there, but he's not here? I don't understand this.
he's
I can see his picture, but he's
like
not
a ghost.
We lost Andy?
Yeah, no, we lost Andy ages ago. I've been trying
he's
to get
him. He's moving
his
lips, but we can't hear him.
Andy or Jason? I can see Jason on the. He's there, Jason. But in my little collection of pictures, and he's a little picture, but
dark.
On,
the sword, forsaken the temple.
Yeah. he's moving his lips.
Yes. Yeah. Oh well.
I'm gonna tell him we can't hear him. Hang on.
Well, maybe he can hear us saying that we can't hear him. So
one
hang
thing
on.
That I wondered about is why didn't they just go ahead and let the submarine connect with them? Because then they could all just pile onto the submarine and leave.
Yeah, that's it. Bye.
Can y'all hear me?
Pardon? There.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yes, what's the difference, Jason?
Sorry, I had the wrong device connected.
You mean you didn't have you had your earphones instead of your microphone connected to it? Or,
yeah, I had my earphones.
I thought it might be something like that.
Hello, Jason. How are you?
Now he can't hear us.
What?
Pardon?
We need a sign language interpreter.
Yeah, it's an audio presentation, though.
I'm sorry, would you like some grateful pie with that?
Anyway, we've got up to the bit where they're trying to lure the ghosts into the Faraday cage, Jason. That's where we're at the moment. So we haven't missed much. Well, maybe about two-thirds of the episode. But
2/3 of the episode?
I need to go back and watch it now.
How many times have you seen it, Jason?
Just once.
Same here.
Oh, dear. No chance on the quiz then. Yeah, and then the doctor uses his sonic sunglasses, which I don't particularly like. I prefer the old screwdriver.
Them because all he does is wibble them a bit like, you know, in Morecambe and Wise. He just sort of wibbles them slightly, and there you go, it's on.
Well, all they do with a screwdriver is point it and point it and press a button.
And then the bloke from Village People puts his hand through the doctor's chest, and he said, cold.
Village People.
It does look a bit Village People-y, doesn't it? Yeah, so I'm just trying to paraphrase while we skip.
Kind of brings back the Orient Express.
Does it?
Episode.
Yes.
Yeah. When that ghostly wrapped thing stuck its hand through that guy's chest.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, cold, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. And then the doctor uses some balls to demonstrate something scientific, and.
I need to look up the exact relative positions of those stars and nebula to see if they really are lined up that way. I have a feeling they are not.
Well, go ahead and keep it to yourself.
Yeah, and can you keep quiet while you're doing it?
I did like the bit going off on a bit. I did like the bit when they got into the sub that was controlled by the hands and headset thing. Oh, it was very Sequest, that was.
Yeah, and I thought more of the Titanic. You know, when Ballard went down to the Titanic, was reminded a little bit of that.
Well, Fred thought it looked silly.
Did she?
Yeah.
What did Louisa think?
It looked silly. although overall, she and her boyfriend loved the episode, so.
Ah, well, that's all right then. Talking of boyfriends, apparently, I'll say it quietly, I might get into trouble. Apparently, Alicia finished with her boyfriend tonight. Because he hasn't. He's
been
gone
out
away.
With you on outings?
He's been away to university for a few weeks and hasn't contacted her. She's very grumpy at the moment. You can imagine her.
Well,
being
she's
very,
always grumpy.
Yeah, yeah. So you imagine what she's like. That she's very grumpy.
I did see her stomping down the hill the other day. And
she stomps everywhere. So anyway, back to the story. The doctor. pardon?
I just read Ian Kirk's comments on the quiz that I posted.
Yeah, 7 out of 10, wasn't she in Star Trek?
Totally irrelevant, but anyway, moving on. The doctor decides that he needs to get back to the TARDIS. But they get trapped, and this is a point you said to remind you of the black hole story, when you see Clara's sort of face behind, you know, the glass, and the doctor says he'll come back for her. And then that one of the best cliffhangers I've ever seen in Doctor Who, when we see the what looks like the ghost of the doctor floating towards the window.
Yeah.
It can't be a ghost.
We knew it was.
There simply are not ghosts.
Well, it's not going to be, because the fact is there wouldn't be much of a show left, would it? The end of Doctor Who. But we knew it was going to be him that floated past the window, but it was still really cool.
Oh, I almost thought it was going to be Danny.
Right, anyway, so this story. I've got a funny feeling that I'm going to be a minority to actually really love it. So for me, I sent a message to Toby Whithouse immediately after watching it, and I said this. Hang on, where's Toby? I said to Toby, "Now that was Doctor Who. Excellent work, sir." He replied with, "Thanks, Adam. Glad you liked it." Well, I blooming well did, and that's all I'm going to say on the matter. Absolutely superb Doctor Who. It was just back to the old days. Loved it. And what did you think, Debbie?
It was just good old Doctor Who. Capaldi is amazing as Doctor Who, because just
as who?
As Doctor Who. But
what? Who's Doctor Who?
You know what I meant. I was getting all excited and now I've lost the flow.
Sorry, carry on.
There you go.
Is that it?
That's it?
What you did. Yeah, no. I enjoyed it, but I am a bit worried about next week, obviously, because everything does come back round to her, and it just is taking a few more episodes. And I'm hoping it doesn't. I'm hoping that she just is there biting her nails and being a bit worried.
I don't mind, as long as it's relevant to the story.
I know, but just I got fed up with her a couple of seasons ago, and now
she's not going to be in it for much longer, so don't worry about it.
I know, I'm not worried about it so much.
But before they say goodbye, they might dwell on her some more, and you know,
yeah, that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that they're going to go, oh, actually, let's recut that a bit and make it a bit more Clara-y. But I don't want the flow of the first part to be lost. I want it to keep going. I enjoyed the pace of last.
It's a good idea to be pessimistic, Debbie.
Oh, stop!
Well, it is.
I love Doctor Who. I love it. There you go. And that was really good. Classic. Really enjoyed it. Reminded me of lots and lots of different episodes all put together. And it
Terror of the Zygons came to mind as well.
It was just, it was a great running around in tunnels.
Yeah, and there was no direct references to old Doctor Who. But apparently there was a Star Trek reference in there.
Yes.
1701B. Yes.
We did wonder when we saw that. We were like, are we in the loading bay of the Enterprise?
Yeah, two references. You got Galileo shuttlecraft and 1701.
Sequest. I did a Sequest reference as well.
Yeah. What do you think, Jason?
I enjoyed the episode. I'm excited, but I also, you know, like in the past, you always had a good one first part, and the second part in general has always been kind of a general letdown. I'd like it, but I'm a little, I guess, reserved to see how it pans out, I guess, is the way
I'm looking at it. I should have been reserved rather than pessimistic.
Okay. Kirby?
As I said in our little private chat on Facebook, right. Proper Doctor Who again?
When I don't remember this private chat.
Huh?
I don't remember this private chat. When do we have a private chat?
Do we have private chats?
You sure you're talking to me?
Don't Who's having this? Private chats? I feel left out.
Thought they were all out there in the public domain.
No, so the little thing where we communicate with each other.
I don't remember seeing that. Hang on, I've got to check that.
Feels like Mary and Debbie feel left out this private chat.
Yeah, we went in.
Mary and Debbie are the last two people to talk.
Oh, yes. This is probably one of those times when you're trying to watch Southampton beat Chelsea, and all he can hear is ping every 5 seconds. Ping!
Yes, ping! That
yeah, that's probably when that happened.
Whatever Pardon that's me. Called. Anyway, I loved it.
Did you?
This was, as I said, proper Doctor Who again. We've had three very good stories in a row now, and I just am worried about next week. But although it looks like it's going
to
be good,
as I said to the writer of the story, our friend of the show, Toby Whithouse,
and like I said, Fred and her boyfriend enjoyed it as well, and even Julia, who did not like the first two episodes, liked this one.
Excellent. Well, I can't say how Deb and Isabella liked it or didn't like it because they haven't seen it yet.
I've seen it 3.5 times now.
I've only seen it properly through once because I was very good, actually, because where I was able to watch the story on my own, I was able to write the questions while watching it. I thought that was quite an achievement. Come on. All right.
Well, very good.
I deserve a point for that, don't I?
Bing!
You'll probably get most of the points. Yeah.
No bing. There's no ding sound you have. Anyways.
You don't listen to the show, Jason.
It shows he does.
I should listen to him more often.
Mm. Mary, what did you think? God help us.
Well, I was, the last two episodes of, you know, that one story had me pretty much sold that, you know, maybe this season was going to be different. So I was cautiously optimistic watching the first half of this story. But, you know, it got in the way because I just kept expecting to be let down. So I, you know, it was like, wait for it, wait for it.
Yeah, wait for it. Here we go.
I can hear a butt coming along.
But it didn't happen. So I enjoyed it way more the second time because I just sat back and enjoyed it the second time without waiting to be let down.
Slow down, did it? You know, it just sort of plateaued and then a bit more, then a plateau, then it just kept going.
Yeah, I only have a couple of niggly little things, and you know, I'm not as bad as Kirby when it comes to things have to be exactly right. But it did bother me that when the water started gushing into that airlock, why Pritchard didn't grab his helmet and put it on?
Yeah,
that's a good water. Poured down, I would at least have liked to have seen him struggle to put his helmet on and maybe failed at it, you know, but he just stood there, which to me just didn't seem consistent.
I agree.
And maybe this will come to light later, but these creatures that are supposed to be like ghosts can go through walls and just vanish when light comes on. I mean, they're so insubstantial. Mm-hmm. How are they able to lift these incredibly heavy pieces of equipment? And
because it's Doctor Who.
They did say they're only able to touch metal things.
Although, what does that mean, that those control panels are metal?
Maybe. I don't know. Just saying. Yeah,
I don't know, but it just seemed really weird that they could pick up those really heavy things, you know, and manipulate them.
It doesn't work when you're talking over each other. Yeah. One at a time. It's only Skype. It can't take it.
Well, in the first time through, I was wondering, how is it that that the doctor could get those coordinates figured out so quickly? I mean, that those four words meant coordinates. So the first time through, I thought, oh, that doesn't ring very true. But then the second time through is when I caught the idea that, oh, he's describing them being like an earworm. You know, it gets into your head when you look at them, so you know what they mean.
Yes. No. Sorry, so Jason, what were you trying to say?
That made me happier.
Okay, but Jason.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. As soon as it said Toby Whithouse, I was already, you know, a little more on the positive side.
Yeah, they did miss out something with that Toby Whithouse thing. It should have said friend of the show, Toby Whithouse.
Yes.
And I'm not too worried that the next episode is going to be about Clara for the same reason Kirby said, that they're going into the past of what happened, you know, in that lake, and she's not with them. So
yeah, she's not there. So.
Yeah,
there's not that much they can do if she's just waiting for the doctor to come back.
Well, except that the previews do show the you know, the doctor is a ghost, and
that you being called, man,
and she's the one who sees him. So we'll see.
So anyway, as I was saying, you were trying to say something, Jason, during that tete-a-tete.
Sorry, I was just thinking about.
Shut up, Debbie! Every time he tries to say something, somebody interrupts him. God, grief! It's like being me. So carry on, Jason, please.
No, I just remember one part of the episode where, you know, when the doctor opens that little hatch and he said that one of the, I think it was one of the power cells was missing and something like that. So here is something in part two, if they're going to mention something of that as well, is something I just was thinking about.
I did wonder if the power cell was keeping the suspended animation coffin going. I thought that might be what it was being used for. Because that was out in the church, wasn't it?
And so what do you suppose is in the suspended animation thing?
The doctor?
Well, they're saying the pilot.
I was going to say it's the doctor.
or it's the – we already know from previews that it's the Fisher King. So at least we don't know if he's inside it. But
right,
we know
point
Fisher
deducted. What do you mean we know from previews? What previews?
Well, they have got previews.
From the original trailer.
Right. I haven't seen it. I don't remember that.
Ed's put some up on the Congee T page as well.
Don't remember hearing about this.
So how
King
do you know
Fisher
that there's the Fisher King in there?
Fisher King, sorry.
No, I don't think he's necessarily inside the sarcophagus. I think that it's probably the doctor in there.
Yes.
But at least this is the episode which we've already, even the synopsis for the story has mentioned the Fisher King. Mm-hmm. So I don't get a point deducted for reading official BBC stuff.
Okay, I'll let you off that one. But as far as the doctor being inside the sarcophagus, the sarcophagus is deadlocked. The only person that would deadlock something so he couldn't get into it would be the doctor.
Yeah,
right.
Or, let's see. Anyway, moving on. I said Missy, yeah.
One other thing. Did anyone... I posted the production drawings about this on our Facebook page.
You did?
But did anyone notice the big mural in the canteen of the sea serpent?
Yes. Yeah.
Not initially, no.
We know that there's a sea serpent or something coming up in a story or two.
All right. Okay. Well, you do, but I didn't. So that's a point deducted for spoilers.
Yeah. No.
Yes. Come on, no.
Well, I didn't know this. Spoilers. Well, it's a spoiler. I didn't know this.
No, we've seen it in.
You may have done, but I haven't.
So I'm not, I'm just trying to enjoy it as it plays.
Yes. Master.
Yes.
You played the audio of one of those trailers on an earlier show, so you can't deduct.
Yeah, I don't know when that's coming precisely.
Kirby, just don't worry.
Clearly, I've inside information because you've been reading every possible spoiler out there.
That's not a spoiler if it's official.
Yeah, but some of us don't even want to know about official hints and stuff. We just want to watch the stories as they go out.
You played the
blind.
Soundtrack.
Yeah, never mind. Moving on. Right, let's move on to feedback. If I can find it. I've got to have something to drink in a minute because my voice is starting to deteriorate. It's deteriorating so much that Debbie will have to read some of this feedback. But let's hope Patrick's a bit louder today because I don't want to have to turn the audio up too much.
Hello, everyone.
No, he's bloody quiet. Hang on, Patrick. So quiet. I can't even hear him. So you'll all have to be quiet because I've got to turn the audio up really loud. And if you speak during this, you'll be exceptionally loud. So please behave yourselves. Listen.
Hello to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. This is Patrick from North Hollywood. My feedback for Under the Lake. Again, I'm going to speak in generalities. So far this season, I really enjoy
what
the pacing.
The hell is
reverb. It's reverb.
Shh, Debbie. Honestly, if anybody speaks during this, I've got this full blast. I've got She Who Must Be Obeyed upstairs, Isabella upstairs, and a moody teenager. If any of you, they hear you lot, end of show. So please, behave yourselves and be very quiet. Nobody speak. Try again.
Hello to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. This is Patrick from North Hollywood with my feedback for Under the Lake. Again, I'm going to speak in generalities. So far this season, I really enjoy the pacing of these longer two-part episodes. This one's no exception. I felt in Under the Lake, there were times you could tell there was a little bit of filler. The monologues are a little bit longer. Some of the scenes you could see, you could definitely tell that if this was a one-part story, they would definitely left them on the cutting floor. But
I'm sorry, I have to end that particular bit of feedback. For two reasons, don't speak yet, I haven't turned you down. Right, you can speak now. I'll have to dub that in later because it's too low.
Yeah, it's very low.
And that's as high as I can turn it up. And it's obviously, it's going to be awkward. So sorry, Patrick. Thank you for your feedback. But it's just a little bit too quiet, isn't it, everybody?
Yeah. He needs to possibly do some editing before he sends it in.
Well, I think it might be edited. It's just the volume is far too low.
Boost the volume.
Yeah. Didn't used to be like that, did it?
No.
Oh, he used to come through loud and clear.
Yeah.
But now it just sounds like he's going through a bass speaker.
He needs to get a Mac.
That's right.
It probably is a Mac. It's showing that that's...
Don't talk nonsense. Right. I've got another bit of feedback. Not a lot of feedback this week, to be fair. When I did ask for it.
I've got Jeff's feedback up from...
I asked for it too.
Yeah, well, nobody takes any notice of you, Kirby. When I asked for it, which
I noticed.
Do you?
People are responding on that thread.
Isn't it nice
where I asked?
When you crack open a can of Stella, that smell of it, just when it's just opened, it's a lovely
wife
smell that
beater.
Is. Pardon?
It's called wife beater.
No, it's not. It's called Stella Artois.
Yeah,
right. I got some feedback from Jeff Waddle, and nearly called him Jeff Waddell. Bit of a throwback there. Sorry, Jeff. And he says, Peter Capaldi was very much like Tom Baker. This makes me happy.
I've got a longer beast.
I'll go on then. I'll give my voice a rest.
I've got a funny feeling we are going to get this series season as a whole lot of alternate realities, somehow being constricted to the proper one of which has a female master. And somehow this one has a doctor who is half human on his mother's side. Oh, come on, Moffat likes to troll. So I'm guessing we are getting McGann and something from the movie that has led us there. Any connection between colonoscopy scarf and the Moffat fake?
Ooh, interesting theory. Now, if this had been a video podcast, you lot would all be laughing right now. Because as I leant back in my chair to listen to you read out that particular bit of feedback, I'd end up tipping lager all down my chest. Covered in it.
That wonderful smell.
If
that
I go
was
to
all
bed wearing this T-shirt, my wife will think I've turned into a literal drunk. God, I've had a great day today. I really have. Anyway, moving on. But thanks, Jeff. More of that, please. Oh, okay. Well, my jingles aren't even playing now. God, how long is it going to take? Shall I have an advert? Oh, it's playing now.
There we go.
Hello, sailors. Once again, Doctor Who lost viewers to the rugby. This version of football dates from 1823, when a boy at rugby school picked up the ball and ran with it. It was a real game changer. Jeff Waddle thought the first episode was dreadful, but admitted the second was better than being poked with a sharp stick. Beneath the Lake by Toby Whithouse.
Under.
The dam burst and flooded the valley. No, building the dam floods the valley. If the dam bursts, the water goes away. Lights going out one by one in the corridor reminds me of silence in the library when the 10th Doctor met that archaeologist. Another airlock. We had one in the previous story.
Well, you would do it in
a space adventure.
One of the prompt
cards says, "It was my fault. I should have known you didn't live in Aberdeen." This suggests that Clara knows about Sarah Jane and expects the Doctor to meet her again.
Aww.
Clara sees the Doctor's ghost.
I'm not dead!
Yeah, none of that was coming.
Is it not dead?
The Mole Guy ghost is the same species that the 11th Doctor met in the God Complex.
Ooh!
The Surface say they received a message in Morse code. Morse code mostly ended in the 20th century. The Doctor is delighted to be facing ghosts, as the 10th Doctor and Rose were delighted to find a werewolf. Queen Victoria was so appalled that she created Torchwood to keep an eye on him. That was before she becomes Jenna Coleman. The actress, Sophie Stone, really is deaf. This message was brought to you by Vector Petroleum.
Who are you?
Gonna pickle him!
Laughing out.
No, thank you. That's Ian Kirk, everyone.
Yay!
Yay!
Hey.
There's more feedback on your comment, Kirby. Yep.
Yes,
asking for feedback.
Well, please read it out.
It's from Baz Hood. And very good. A significant improvement over the nonsensical last story. Okay, I didn't buy the Doctor believing in ghosts. He just wouldn't. He'd always believe it was something other than the supernatural. And it was a load of baffle gab about the coordinates, but overall, much more like the Doctor Who I love.
Yeah, there's another comment by Ashley Hughes above that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, someone read it. This is interesting.
Carry on. This is in the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join.
She says, really good episode. Thought this one was going to be rubbish, but can't wait for the next episode. Also, there was a Star Trek reference. Well, I think so.
Yes.
And then Adam Saunders has got one above that. I think I will wait for the concluding part again and hopefully make some more coherent points. Did make me laugh that the other Adam still hasn't forgotten about my foolish negative feedback I once left on iTunes.
Yes, I don't forget. Well,
you'll
do,
never
actually.
Live it down.
Yes. I've got some Reese Parton has posted something from Wagga Wagga in Australia. I don't think it's feedback, but it's just interesting that he's actually posted something in relation to Doctor Who.
Does he still watch Doctor Who?
I don't know, but it says, you never know, it could pop up again, and I know that people get incredibly irate about it. But
oh,
we
that.
We did it because we can. What? Oh, that, you say. What's the matter? No,
he's
occasion.
Talking about the Sonic Shades.
Oh. But he's talking about Doctor Who.
Yes.
And furthermore, for a bit of throwback for this particular show, and Jason will not understand what I'm talking about, but Robert Haynes has liked it.
Yes.
Oh.
Robert Haynes likes everything.
Yes, true. Luckily, it just means he read it.
And apparently, Billy Kirkbright saw the actress who plays Kate Lethbridge-Stewart, or it's Kate Stewart, actually, Billy, in an episode of Lewis.
Lewis what?
It's called Lewis. It's about Lewis. Morse's assistant.
Hey?
It's a very British... what would you call it, Adam? Just a whodunit, like CSI, but British style.
Oh, isn't it a spin-off of Inspector Morse?
Yeah, it's Inspector Morse's sidekick, Lewis, and he's got his own assistant now.
An interesting find, Missy Duchesneau, I can't say that name.
Duchesneau.
There's a picture of Beastly Nuts with Lala Ward on the front cover. And friend of the show, Simon Fisher-Becker's book, My Dalek Has a Puncture, has had a bit of an airing on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Or James Ferguson posted a pin the tail on the Mirka game.
All right. And horrors amongst all horrors, and that deserves, hang on, I've got to get me jingles ready. Horrors amongst all horrors. Rob Lansdowne may be visiting the Isle of Wight.
Yes.
And Debbie's already trying to arrange a meeting with him.
In the pub.
Yes, typical Deb.
So I thought it would be a good place to meet up.
I wish I could afford to visit the
pubs on the Isle of Wight. You've got to be careful which one, you know.
How's the Debbie?
How's the Debbie?
How's the attempt to get to Kanji Tea coming?
It's not looking good with the boiler packing up. And, everything, oh, my tooth broke and everything, my glasses nearly got snapped. So everything seems
to be the excuses are mounting, Reese. Lawsuit not to the podcast to Debbie Melrose, please.
I'm utterly fed up with it because every time I've got a slight pot, it's gone. You know, it's like, oh, great, you know. So I don't know if it's going to happen, but I am determined to try and make it happen. But if not, then I'll have to do...
You'll have to send me, won't you, Deb?
I will go, won't you?
No, I said you'll have to send me.
I have to send you? Yeah. Wait, you've got the money.
No, that's what I'm saying. You fund my trip.
I can't fund my own.
Oh dear, right.
I have booked my room for a Con GT, though. I can say that.
Ooh, you said Con GT. That reminds me of something. I might have accidentally made a bit of a boo-boo on the day of Con GT.
What?
No, you can't.
A little bit of an error.
What? Are you going on holidays?
Well, we were at the O2, like you do, watching some crap four-piece boy band called One Direction.
Oh, you poor thing.
Yes, and I happened to mention that I quite liked some of Little Mix's songs because they had a little video on there. And Deb said, oh, are they playing here at all? So we looked up on the thing, as you do on your phone, and it said, oh, they're playing one date in March. March the 27th, I think it was. So went to the ticket office and found out how they were doing in availability. I thought it could be a nice Christmas present for Isabella. And bought the tickets. And then afterwards I thought, I wonder if there's something else on that day.
Well, you're going to have to give me the key to your house and I'm going to have to go in and record.
We Eddie has moved us from our small room into the main room.
Right.
So you have to be there.
Yeah.
All right, that's the bad news. The good news is it's a matinee performance at 12 PM.
Can you get back in?
Yeah, but it's in London.
Yeah, I know. I'm sort of planning to go up by train instead of drive, which
that might would get cut you back out. Pretty quick. Actually, yeah.
There's a tube station right next to the O2. That if I can get from, and that's a direct link to Waterloo Station. The Waterloo Station is a direct link to Southampton, so I'm planning on possibly taking that particular route. But if that doesn't work out, I shall be showing Debbie how to set up podcast recording at her house and hope she doesn't have any internet problems at the time. And if she does, I'll have to lend her one of my iPads so she can use my iPad as a mobile soft spot, top spot. What do you call those things? Hotspots, that's it. And then I shall join via my iPhone.
Fair enough.
So we'll get around it somehow.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Debbie, so it looks like destined not to go to Con GT so I can save the show.
Yes, that's right. Ironic in some ways, isn't
if
it?
If I'm not going next year, then I'm going to start saving to go the year after.
She's going to start saving so as we can both go the year afterwards, yes.
Well, there's also Con Cerberus.
I know. Yes. Oh, God. Don't. I'm just going to have to come and live there.
Really? I have spare room.
Anyway, I got a message. This isn't feedback. It's just a message from Minister of Chance. And they said, "Hi, Adam. Wanted to reach out and ask you to support our new series. Please take a look." So I clicked on the link, which is radiostatic.co.uk. And it's a link to that marvellous production, which is funded by fans, basically. Minister of Chance. I've heard bits and bobs about this over the years because I know Podshock were very into promoting it. And I think it's a good thing to promote if you're a Doctor Who fan. Basically, you donate money to your own choice how much, but to this thing. And they produce some very good audio stories starring Doctor Who actors such as Robert Picardo. Was he a Doctor Who actor? Of course he is. No, he's a Star Trek actor. Sylvester McCoy, Tamsin Grieg. Can't say that name, or that one, or that one. But yes, it's why can't people have pronounceable names? They're supposed to be actors. What's the point of having being an actor and not having a pronounceable name?
I think now it's all everyone's going for sort of more exotic names.
Yeah, but the name, if you can't pronounce it, Lord,
kind of defeats the purpose.
Yes. So, radiostatic.co.uk listeners, have a look because from what I've heard of little samples of Minister of Chance, they're extremely good. They're not actually Doctor Who, but they often have Doctor Who actors in it. I know Sylvester McCoy is particularly heavily involved in a lot of these particular productions. So,
well, there's only, what, 50 British actors who just keep moving back and forth?
Pardon?
Between, like, Game of Thrones and Doctor Who and, and Downton Abbey.
Casualty. Oh,
God. And right then.
50. They look different. They're not Cylons, yeah.
So anyway, that's my little plug for Minister of Chance. And now it's time for this week's vision of You Won't Get This One. And quite frankly, it's about time you didn't, because I want to win one of these one day. Oh dear, my poor throat.
I know.
Pardon?
Oh, bless his heart. Just bless his heart.
All right, first question goes to Jason.
All right.
I'll just get the mouse over its...
Don't there you be mean.
What? Right, Jason, what was the name of the underwater mining facility?
I know.
Jesus. So I get for only watching it one time, not paying attention to all the details.
Yeah, I didn't get it either.
So you don't know it?
No.
Excellent point to me. Kirby?
Hey, the drum.
Had a full title, didn't it?
Kirby's gone up to zero. Kirby, your question. Who was asked to get a torch?
Dun. Lum. Lun.
So which one are you going to go with?
Lun.
Oh.
Right. Mary.
Yes.
And just make sure the mouse is over its spot. All right. Who was the sponsor of the safety message? And it's not whoone.co.uk before we translate.
It was Vector Petroleum.
Expecto Patronum.
I got a point. I got 2 points. 2 points.
Yes.
Wow. I don't know what to do with myself.
You're in the lead.
Pardon?
It won't last.
It Debbie. Could.
It was Adam's pardon, sorry.
Adam's, looking, Adam's going down the list. Easy one, easy one, easy
Debbie.
One.
Easy one in
last
his mind.
Chance, Debbie,
easy
before
one.
I move on to the next player.
Yes?
Which was the commanding officer who died?
I know.
His name was... Maren?
Pardon?
No.
Morbin, sorry.
Oh, she's having two goes. Oh, dear, we're just going to get one of those. Go on in, Kirby.
Morbin.
Shush, right, point deducted.
May I say?
Yes, you may.
Jonathan Moran, M-O-R-A-N.
You don't get an extra point for the first name.
Well, it's his name.
He should have.
Just get that smarty pants tone out of your voice.
Yeah, I've relinquished that crown a long time ago.
Right. I was going to be Andy's question next. I'll just cross him off. Jason.
Yes.
How long after the initial accident did the TARDIS arrive? Can I actually
finish the question?
Question
don't finish
I know.
The question.
Yeah, go on in. Sorry, Jason.
If you didn't hear the question, Jason, tell him to say it again.
The whole question.
Okay, I'll read it out again. If Kirby interrupts again, we'll just deduct a point. Right, how long after the initial accident did the TARDIS arrive?
3 days later.
Yay!
Yay!
Wow.
Kirby.
Master.
What did the Doctor call the ghosts?
Oh, yeah.
What did he call them?
I think I might get some points here.
Do you remember?
Yeah, you're
going to
get some points.
Will I? Excellent. Anybody?
I can try.
Go on, then.
Didn't he call them, like, slips in time with skin on?
Oh, excellent. No, he called them lovely chaps.
Oh.
I've got that written down as well.
You should have done. Right. Mary.
Chaps, yes.
Who was a huge fan of the Doctor?
I think I know that one.
Cass.
Nope.
No.
That's better. Yes, Debbie.
Bennett.
Woo-hoo! Excellent.
Donald.
Oh.
You should have said so then, Kirby, shouldn't you? Right then, Debbie.
Yeah?
What planet was the mole... Sorry, did the mole guy come from?
Can't remember.
Anybody?
I know.
Go on in,
Tivoli.
Kirby. Pardon?
Tivoli. Or Tivoli.
So, after those rounds of questionings, the scores are, at the moment, in last place with -1 is Debbie.
Yay!
In fourth place, or joint third, actually, with 2 points each, it's Jason and Mary.
Yay!
In second place, with 5 points, which would have been six if he didn't have a point deducted, is Kirby. And in the lead with 6 points, it's me, and about time two. Right, Jason.
You don't count.
Yeah,
we don't listen to that one.
If I didn't count, we wouldn't have many scores, would we? Come on. Jason, what should have been in the spaceship?
I know, I think.
Oh, shoot, I never... What did I describe it as? I can't think of the name of it. It's like a... I don't know, I don't remember.
I'll have a go after Mary.
I won't get any points, though. Is
it's
it?
Actually two things.
Are you ducking out, then, Jason?
You said two things? Oh, I know, like, one thing was missing.
Yeah, go on, then. What would you...
Power cell, and the other was, like, a... I don't know, like, a... I don't know what the word is. I can't give the word.
Well, describe it in your mind.
It was, like, kind of...
Then we can't hear
him. Shut up, Kirby.
Shut up, Kirby.
It's not, I was going to say something like a hologram, but not exactly like a sub, I don't know, some type of holographic type thing with the person.
I know.
Who said I know first? Wasn't it Mary?
I did.
Go on, Mary.
A suspended animation chamber.
Ah.
Right. Is correct. Right. Kirby.
Master.
What kind of objects can the ghosts handle?
Metal.
Mary.
Okay, what? Just throw it at me.
What did the Doctor do to stop the TARDIS grumbling?
I know.
He put on the handbrake.
Okay.
Ooh, see? easy.
Debbie. Yeah. When does the Doctor like adventures?
As much as the next man, if the next man likes adventures.
Oh, spot on. She comes into the pluses.
One point,
yes.
Jason, what died? Sorry, who? Why does it say what? Who died in the airlock?
I know.
Debbie got there.
I didn't hear the question. I didn't. You said who or what?
Yeah. Who died in the airlock?
Oh shoot!
No, it wasn't him.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Go on then, who is it, Debbie?
Richard. 2 points.
Good for you.
Yes.
For you.
Kirby.
redeeming
master.
What did Cass say Topside could send down if they abandoned the base? Point for each.
A whole team of Marines or Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Mary.
Mm-hmm.
How did Bennett greet the ghosts?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Oh, I don't remember.
Go on then, Debbie.
Hey, how's it going? That was going to be my quote.
I just remember the doctor calling out to them.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What were the ghosts saying?
They were saying, the dark, the sword, forsaken, the temple.
Ooh, that didn't quite ding properly.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a dead ding there.
Do get an extra point for that. So well done. So the scores at the moment.
Why do I get an extra point?
Because
for
it was four answers there, essentially.
Oh, okay.
So you did well to get over, to get an extra point. I was going to make it two extra points, but as it's you, I'm just going to make it one.
Got to hold her back somehow. Huh? Yeah.
In last place with 2 points, it's Jason. In fourth place with 5 points, it's Mary. In third place with 6 points, it's Debbie. In second place with 8 points, it's me. And then the lead with 10 points, it's Kirby.
Ooh.
Jason.
I had to lose some.
Jason.
Yes.
Right. What does the Doctor think that being around him makes the crew cleverer by?
Oh, yes, I know.
Oh, yeah.
I'll say the question again. No. What does the Doctor think that being around him makes the crew clever by?
I don't know.
Excellent. And who said I know first?
Me.
Was it you, Debbie?
Yeah.
Your name?
Osmosis.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Oh.
Does that mean he's a plant?
Right, Kirby.
Master.
Why can't the Doctor open the chamber?
Oh, it's deadlocked.
Eventually. Mary.
Mm-hmm.
What did the Doctor say the words in the spaceship were? I'll say that again. What did the Doctor say the words in the spaceship were?
Isn't it like an earworm?
Anybody?
It's coordinates.
Oh, excellent. The answer was magnets.
Yep.
Debbie.
Yes.
Why did the Doctor not have a radio on the TARDIS?
He took his heart to make a clockwork squirrel.
She says that so quickly and so brightly, you know.
I loved that. Right. Just a quick aside. You took it apart. Yeah.
I'm sure she said it with a straight face as well.
Yeah.
All right, so there's 4 questions left. Sorry, my nose has gone funny now.
You're falling apart tonight, Adam.
Four questions left, and these are the scores. In last place with 2 points, it's Jason. In fourth place with 5 points, it's Mary. In third place with 9 points, it's Debbie. In second place with 11 points, me, and then the lead with 12 points, it's Kirby. Right, Jason, this is a chance for me to pick up some points. I mean, this is your question. What piece of music does the Doctor hate?
I know.
I don't know.
I'll give you a clue.
You won't help him much because we've never heard that song in the States.
We've never heard that song.
That's a clue.
Yeah. He's never heard it.
I'm probably wrong. I'm going to say reggae.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Oh, hang on. What's it playing now? Hang on. Sorry.
Just... walking in the air.
Hang on. I've got to give myself a point. That's there. Right,
exactly.
Then. Who said I know?
I did.
Go on then, Mary.
It's Mysterious Girl. Do you want the person
artist,
who sang
yes.
it? By Peter Andre?
Yes.
Yeah, but we've never heard it. I have to.
And did
I've
you
just
notice though that
you.
I posted that a link to it very quickly in our little private chat on Facebook?
Oh, is that what that was?
It goes a bit like this.
I like the fact
I had no idea what that was.
I like the fact I had the doctor begging for death.
I said tonight is your life.
Mary said she hasn't heard it.
No.
Mary said she hadn't heard it.
I'll go to Kirby's link and I'll listen to it.
But you wanted to listen to it, didn't you, Mary?
Yes, I did. Of course I did.
I try to no, stop!
Airtime, he's an idiot.
But Mary said she wanted to hear it. My mind
wants to explode. I'm literally begging for the hand, merciful hand of death here. Now stop.
Yes. Very good, very good.
That's it, bye. No, you are not turning off the Skype. I'll turn it down.
Right. It's Mary's question. Oh, no, hang on. No, this is Mary's question.
This should be Kirby's question.
That couldn't be Kirby. Well, it is Kirby's question, sorry.
Master?
Kirby.
Master?
How long do they have to get to the TARDIS before the flood doors
30
close?
30 seconds.
See, he meant that for me.
Yeah.
That was an easy one.
Mary?
Yes, yes.
How does the Doctor go back in time? According to the script, obviously.
With the TARDIS.
Excellent. Anybody?
Trying to remember. Oh, yes, extremely well.
Yes.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Who is in the suspended animation chamber?
I think it's the Doctor. Should be the pilot, though.
We don't know. How can you give her a point?
Yeah, that's what I've got written down here. She didn't know what I had written down here, but I wanted whoever put whatever I had written down there is the answer.
You know, he can deduct the point next week if necessary.
That's right.
Are you arguing with me, Kirby?
This isn't over till next week.
Kirby, are you arguing with me? Kirby? You've gone very quiet all of a sudden. Kirby?
Yes?
Are you arguing with me?
No.
Just as well, because I would have deducted 3 points. Final scores are... In last place, with 2 points, Jason. Sorry, Jason. In fourth place, with 6 points, Mary. In third place, with 11 points, Debbie. In second place, with 13 points, me. And the winner this week, quite undeservedly so, is Kirby, with 15 points.
Very good. Flash, Tom would like to do some feedback, please.
Oh, please do.
Hang on. Oh, it's looking all official. Computers come out and everything.
Just my notes.
Okay, here we go. Hello, everyone. This is Tom.
Hello, I'm Tom.
Hello, Tom.
Normally silent other half.
Can I just apologise for Kirby before you get going? Because he may well interrupt you and just correct your pronunciations on certain things. So just so you know.
No, I realised long ago to ignore Kirby.
Oh, stop!
Just speak to him in Italian if he gets too annoying.
Does he do Spanish?
I don't know. No. Do you do Spanish, Kirby?
No.
Oh, dear.
Soy un burro.
Stop it! He probably knows enough to know that.
Okay, so the new Doctor. Well, I love the new Doctor. Peter Capaldi is fantastic. He embodies the spirit of the Doctor really well. From his confusion of his arrival through his ability to dismiss the humans as idiots out of hand, while still loving them. And the eyebrows are fantastic. However, the new series has the same problem as the last one. Clara. I hate her. The actor is bad. You know, I mean, she's very easy on the eye. But the all-knowing ability, her seeming lack of fear, and her total taking over each episode. And it becomes The Clara Show!
Yes.
Her relationship with the Doctor is wrong for me. I enjoyed the way that Missy just ran roughshod over her. That's how the companion should be. One knowing what the heck is happening and the baffled human legging it along behind. But in this one, whilst the Doctor is giving his explanation theory, she stood there with a finger on her upper lip. So she totally understands it all. It made me want to shout at the television.
Yeah.
The episode was good, with the ghosts, for me, presenting a genuine sense of fear. The madness of running around whilst hiding is a well-used trope, but still very effective.
Yeah.
And I hope they still run around in the second part. The use of day-night terror effect was good, if slightly obvious. My only issue with it is now that the Doctor is a ghost, Clara is going to save the day again. Boring, boring, boring. I can't wait to get rid of her and find a real companion. There you go.
Thank you very much, dude.
And I'd like to know, I'd like to know how Kirby resisted the temptation to correct your pronunciation of Capaldi.
No.
Capaldi. Sorry.
But, you know, Tom brought up about how if the Doctor's a ghost, we are going to need Clara to clean up the show. So it's like, oh, I really do dread that.
Don't worry, everybody. She's not going to be in it for much longer.
She'll stop what's going on. She'll go running to the thing and get him out, you know.
I know.
She won't be in it for much longer.
I love Toby. Toby's writing most of the time. I'm just hoping that he's making us think that it's going to be Clara saving the day.
Yeah,
I think he might be doing it on purpose. So,
I think I'd quite like if it happened to be Missy in the...
That would be so funny. Yeah.
I think she's...
Or a cyber.
But it was Clara as a companion in the last, you know, the first two episodes of the season. We're just like, 20 that's
feet.
How it should be.
Yeah.
Or even funnier if they opened up the thing and it was Khan in there.
No.
That would be a leap.
Benedict Cumberbatch as Khan, obviously, because they couldn't bring back Ricardo Montalbán.
It turned out to be sure I can say the Dalek after all.
But I reckon Moffat could pull that one, you know.
He probably would try. Yeah.
Turns out to be a TARDIS. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, everybody, Benedict Cumberbatch has been back on the Isle of Wight recently to christen his first child. So,
they bought a house there as well, haven't they?
Yes, are they?
Yep, apparently.
I'm assuming he's getting ready to shoot Doctor Strange though soon.
Yeah, he must be excited. Go away.
So you're going to be neighbors with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Well, you're not quite neighbors. I mean, if you regard a neighborhood as being like 30 odd miles or whatever the square mileage of the Isle of Wight is.
I thought there was just like one little crossroad
Kirby
the Isle of Wight.
Pretty much sums it up, yes. It's called Newport.
Kirby's not very good at geography, so we'd let him off that one.
It's basically, you know, a 30-mile island, mostly forest and farmland. So yeah.
And rubbish dumps.
And a really, really cool amusement park.
And a prison.
I've got more than one amusement park.
So that means most of the people living in houses live fairly close together.
Oh, yeah. No, we're just like, you can just look out the window and wave.
I suppose that's
I'm sure some of them like to be really nosy neighbors, too.
Oh, yes. Very.
Yes, that's half the fun of it. Anyway, sponsors, we have Lavazzi.co.uk. Now, Lavazzi have got some new products coming out for Christmas, and now they've posted them on their website. So if you go to Lavazzi.co.uk and click on Doctor Who, you'll see all these lovely new things. We've got the old ones, like the Dalek scarf and the Fourth Doctor series, or the 18-foot Series 17 or 16-17 scarf. And we've got a new thing, which is the Doctor Who knitted tie, which is basically the design of Tom Baker's scarf. In the shape of a sort of normal tie type thing. That looks really good fun, actually.
Yeah.
£24.99.
Yeah.
Would you pay? I might buy one of them, actually, just for the fun of it. And
I'm going to get you something for Christmas while we're up at the con.
Oh, are you now?
Within budget.
Oh, so not a trip to the Con GT, which I can't do now because I'm going to watch.
Now I'm hosting the show.
Just the One Direction instead.
And a Doctor Who scarf, which is the miniature one that they're bringing out for short people.
Aww.
And the one I want, which I might actually persuade Deb to let me have, because 2 years ago I actually held it in my arms and said, I'd love one of these. And she said, why do you need one of those? Which is the Series 18 Burgundy scarf. I really do want one of those.
Why do you need one of those?
Hang on, it's reduced to $29.99. I might have to buy that now.
How much is that in dollars?
I'm buying that now. Oh, hang on, I can't buy it now. He might give me discount. Hang on, I'll cancel that. I wonder how much discount he could give me if I said, can I buy that scarf before you sell out? I might get it for £25. Sorry, moving on. Yeah, so that, at the moment, listeners, don't buy it before I buy it. The The Series 18 Tom Baker scarf is $29.99.
I found Tom's birthday present on the Vardsy. There you go.
Maybe, what did you get for Tom?
Oh, he likes those desert scarves, you know, the checkered ones. Yes. And they've got them on there as well. So I'm going to grab him a couple of those, I think.
Okay, 30 British pounds is about $45.50.
Yeah, I was going to say 45.
You mean, ouch, it's quite cheap for a... They're normally 60 quid, 70 quid, in fact. Actually, no, the Burgundy ones are actually 50 quid normally. I lied. But the Series 16, 17 is $69.99. The Doctor Who TARDIS stick umbrella with 23-inch canopy is also available. And they've got the sale on for my favourite jumper, which is my fifth Doctor cricket jumper, because they're not going to bring them out anymore. So I might have to buy one of them, because mine's gone all bobbly. You know, when you accidentally wear something with Velcro on it and attaches itself to yourself.
Yeah. Most of my uniform's done that.
Fluff everywhere. But I do love my my fifth Doctor jumper. I did actually ask Melinda if they were going to bring out the Caves of Androzani version of it, and he said no, it hasn't sold very well. But that's actually been reduced to $39.99. And, like I say, the shorter version of the scarf is $29.99. And they've got another lovely umbrella, the Time Lord folding umbrella, which has a sort of Gallifreyan landscape on it. Seventh Doctor hanky, which is a lovely paisley hanky, whether you like Doctor Who or not. That's $24.99. And my wonderful tank top. The Sylvester McCoy 7th Doctor ?
I love
top.
That. That is brilliant.
Wonderful. And I can't wait to... That's one of the only good things about the winter, being able to wear my tank top and embarrass Deb every time one of her customers comes through. Rather appalling looking tank top. 7th Doctor ? Umbrella. I have one of them. And that is still available at the moment. And you can get the 7th Doctor's silk paisley scarf. There's lots of products here. Sorry it's taken so long. And the TARDIS scarf as well. So lots of Doctor Who products for you to buy for me at Christmas. I mean, for your loved ones at Christmas. We have other sponsors, don't we, Mary?
We have one what?
Sponsor, dear. Another sponsor.
I think it's whowon.co.uk, Mary.
That's her job.
I'm sorry. I thought you already talked about it. Yes, it is whowon.co.uk.
Too late.
It's taken me a few years to get it down right.
What did Kirby say then?
I have no idea. He turned into Cher.
Yes, Heroes and Monsters Collection by Gary Russell. It's a paperback book. The Dangerous Book of Monsters by Justin Richards.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That looks good. I like that.
Time Lord Fairy Tales. Now, that does look good.
Yes.
By Justin Richards. And the 2016 annual. The Time Lord Letters by Justin Richards has been extremely busy.
He has. He's getting them out just in time.
That's what she said, but he's actually been quite good at writing books as well, Debbie. And the Doctor Who magazine 491 is also out. So all these items can be purchased along with
I like others. I still think the Dalek Miss Potato Head is brilliant.
Yeah, I haven't got one of those. I haven't got enough space for stuff like that in my house, as you probably will ever verify.
Are any of those Doctor Who magazines, are they available digitally to download? Or
no, but if you go, Jason, if you want them early before they come to Barnes & Noble or wherever, you can buy them at the same, more or less the same time as we do, if you buy them from whowon.co.uk.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Oh, Andy sent a message. The internet is dead here. Stormageddon has killed it.
So don't worry, Andy, because when you were talking to us earlier on, I was recording, so you were... it will be possible for you to be on the show this week. Aren't I kind? Yes, I am. Stop arguing.
Yes, Master.
No, I think it's about time we did Doctor Who News.
Was there news?
I don't know. I haven't looked, really. Oh, actually, before we
Actually, there was quite a bit.
Before we do Doctor Who News, I nearly forgot, actually. We have a new member of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group who actually thanked me for adding them, so I thought I'd better give them a mention. And that is, here we go, Sam Barons. Oh, hang on. Simon Fisher-Becker, friend of the show, added Matthew Campbell.
Well.
We've got two new members.
Okay. You've gone all funny.
Pardon?
You went all funny then, all echoey and a bit scary.
Not on my end, I didn't. Might have gone a bit scary.
He went ghost, yeah.
Yeah. Right, Doctor Who news. There was a talk, actually, about the ratings drop, of course. I must mention this, because they have been putting Doctor Who on at the same time as England's terrible rugby performances.
Oh, yes, yeah.
For some people, people have still been wanting to watch us play rubbish at rugby rather than watch Doctor Who.
I don't see why Doctor Who has to move because Strictly is on. Strictly isn't all it's cracked up.
It will be at this stage because Strictly is really, really long. There's about a million women dancers on it at the moment. Yes, Kirby.
Isn't one of the people on Strictly right now the
yes.
same person who did the earworm that the doctor was referring to?
You put it on again.
Sorry, what are you talking about, Debbie?
Restrain yourself.
Debbie?
What?
What's he talking about?
He's talking about Peter Andre.
Oh, right, yes, that's right.
Don't you put it on again.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't quite know what you were talking about then. Were you talking Anyway, Australian overnight ratings for The Witch is Familiar.
They need to force him to dance to that for, several hours straight, and then...
Don't you put it on in the car on the way up to London. I know what you're like.
Sorry. Sorry, dance to what?
Shut up.
What this? Anyway, yeah, overnight Australian ratings for Witch is Familiar. 541,000 Australians decided they'd watch it. The AI was 83. Never worked out how that works as being good or bad. Well, it just keeps saying that the appreciation index is a measure of how much the audience enjoy the programme. A feature-length version of Magician's Apprentice and Witch is Familiar had an audience of 0.6 million viewers on BBC One on Sunday afternoon.
I think word got out that it was good, you know, that when you put them both together, it was a really good combo. And, yeah, I think the ratings have gone... aren't really reflecting the fact that iPlayer's probably gone nuts with it.
Yeah. Well, the programme was once more up against rugby on ITV, and this time Scotland v USA. So that means no Scottish people have watched Doctor Who, so that's probably why Jeff Waddle didn't watch it at the time. And that had an average of 2.1 million viewers. The Saturday night show finished 53rd in the ratings.
Oh, no, that means they're going to cancel it immediately.
But, if there was a but... the official ratings were, in fact, 6.54 million viewers, which actually is quite good.
That's brilliant.
So, and that was just for episode one. What else we've got here? We've got publicity pictures.
I know we're coming up to it, but there is a very big thing about the brouhaha of the announcements, that they really were building up to the big announcement.
Oh, yeah.
And who was quite disappointed with the big announcement?
I was quite disappointed with the big announcement.
Do that.
What big announcement?
The spin-off show.
The kiddie show. The kiddie version. The tween version.
Yeah.
Class. Yes.
Yeah. I thought that was a joke, sorry.
I thought it was a joke when I saw it posted, on the internet.
Okay, Debbie, remind me of what it is, because I'm coughing at the moment.
Okay, new Doctor Who spin-off announced. It was a big deal to it. The BBC has announced production of a new Doctor Who spin-off series, which has been commissioned for BBC Three for release in 2016, by which time BBC Three is likely to be an online-only channel. They've been threatened for a long time, actually. Class is a new 8-part series from acclaimed author Patrick Ness. The series will be set in contemporary London and will feature Cold Hill School, first seen in Doctor Who's very first episode in 1963. Class will be the third full spin-off series from Doctor Who commissioned by the BBC. It follows Torchwood, which launched in 2006, and the Sarah Jane Adventures, which launched in 2007.
And Sarah Jane Adventures missed a trick there by not using Cold Hill School.
Yeah, Stephen Moffat will be executive producer.
Well, there you go. Not particularly interested.
Yeah, but Moffat said, no one has documented the dark and exhilarating world of the teenager like Patrick Ness. I don't remember it being exhilarating.
There's a horrible series called Waterloo Road.
Dark, yeah.
Waterloo Road, which had Jenna Coleman in when she was quite little-ish. No, I don't. I mean, the only school drama I actually ever liked was Grange Hill.
Yeah, I like
because it was really light score, and I was at school at the time, and it was really, really well done.
Yeah, that's why I liked it, because it was...
and they had kids playing the parts, whereas Waterloo Road has actors who look like kids. Completely different thing. Adult actors, in fact, look like kids.
I thought it was going to be something a bit more amazing, the way they were going on about the announcement coming. The building.
Yeah, I was one of the first people to post on the various Facebook pages I post stuff to that there was an announcement coming up, and I was thinking, oh boy, they found some more missing episodes or something.
Yes, and that's what I thought. Found something that
And they kept going on and on. You're gonna like this. You're gonna like this. You're gonna like this.
No, we don't.
No.
Anyway, Michelle Gomez is having a little mini of her made. Now, I haven't worked out whether this is a 5-inch figure or a 3.5-inch figure. If it's 5-inch figure, I'm happy in one way but sad in another, because they have not brought out enough, as I keep harping on about, 5-inch versions of Peter Capaldi. I've got one, which is Peter Capaldi in Matt Smith's regeneration costume, which is better than nothing. But if they're going to bring out Michelle Gomez as...
This is a 5-inch figure.
Yeah, so they need to bring out a 5-inch doctor to go with it, don't they, Kirby?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't collect these things.
Yes, they do.
Well, I do, and I say yes.
I've only got a couple.
Colin Baker is to visit the Doctor Who Experience in Cardiff on the 10th of October. That's a Saturday. I'm off on Saturdays. Ooh.
He's heading over there pretty quickly, because right now he's at the convention in Omaha.
Yeah, he's at a convention.
I bet I can't get tickets for that one, but that's sold out. I'll have to have a look into that one. I've been meaning to take Isabella up to Cardiff on my family rail card.
I can't pass off as a Pearson again then.
You could just buy a ticket yourself.
No, I'm working that way.
Apparently there's a new Doctor Who spin-off announced. Now, I'm talking about BBC Three now, and I keep on saying it's going to be coming on.
It hasn't yet. They've been saying it for about 3 years. Yeah.
It's a brilliant channel. What's the point?
Family Guy, you know, fantastic.
Yeah, great channel. Series 9 reaches India, apparently. As long as it doesn't reach any African nations, because they might try and hide it in some mysterious lockers. And
keep it out of Nigeria.
Might have to send some bloke to
see that interview. Did you see that interview? Or I guess he was at a con recently, the Philip Morris. They're asking about what happened to episode 3 of Web of Fear and stuff. Yeah. And he claims that he did had a copy of it, but somehow lost it.
Mm. Yeah.
Y'all saw that.
Stolen back off him, and someone stole it.
It was stolen, yes.
Collector. Yeah.
Yes.
Which means it is out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Under the Lake. Overnight viewing figures, 3.7 million watched it while the rugby was on. But I think the figures are going to go up a little bit by the time we get the official ones. So I'm not going to worry too much about that. It was fifth in the day.
You can be assured that if I had been in England, I would not have been watching the rugby.
Yeah, but you haven't got any taste in sports, Kirby. I couldn't watch it because after having sat through England v Wales and Wales just still being amazing despite having all their team injured, and England still not being able to beat them, was just too.
I thought that was
depressing.
The whole point of rugby is to get injured.
Well, according to Wales, it is to get injured and still win.
See, rugby's pretty rough.
That's enough of rugby and enough of Doctor Who for this week. Anybody got anything to add? No. This point, you had a chance to open your mouths and say something, but unfortunately not.
I can't remember. I was going to say, did y'all talk? I don't know if y'all talked earlier about the episode about when Clara told the doctor to pull out the cards or stuff like that. What I was going to ask.
Oh, that was brilliant. I was surprised you didn't ask any questions, because I wrote down every single card.
I've got every single card too.
Well, unfortunately for you, like I said, this is the first time I've ever done questions for a quiz while the program was actually airing, so I didn't watch it a second time.
We were all prepped. I knew we'd all be prepped for it, and you didn't do it when it came up.
It was just on too late in the evening. As I said earlier on, Southampton beat Chelsea 3-1 at Stamford Bridge.
It was one of the greatest performances
ever, and I wanted to watch that on Match of the Day.
Master.
Yes, Kirby.
On one of the making of videos that the BBC has posted, Jenna Coleman mentions that there were like 25 cards, each of which has a different thing, and they really need to post all 25 cards.
Okay.
We only know what's on one, two, three, four of the card, five of the cards.
Okay. Well, I don't think they really do need to do that, do they?
That's yes, they do.
No, I think you need them to do it, but they don't actually.
You've gone share.
Who has? Who's gone share?
Who?
Hello?
Who?
Who's gone? Doctor? Who's gone share, Debbie? Oh, Debbie's gone all funny.
Pardon?
I said, who went share?
Yeah. Who's she talking about?
She said, you went
she
share.
Said she said, someone's gone share. I don't know if it's me or Adam.
I don't know. She'll have to knock
Andy
on the door.
Nunny's online.
Talking of Andy Nunny, he's posted a message to me, that's well, all of us actually, said, he's killed it. Desktop, laptop, iPhone, and iPad, all dead. What's he done, vomited on it? I mean, how did he...
Yeah, something I don't happened. Know. It's...
I disappeared.
Yes, you did.
Yes,
yeah,
you did.
Completely.
Yes.
I'm going to ask Tom if he's streaming whilst in the bath, and that's not true. Hello?
Has he got a cold? Right, this is going to be a riveting podcasting, finding out whether someone's streaming while in the bath.
Yeah, he was streaming. He stopped now.
Oh, no, right. So he was.
Right, I forgot
it
to
was
do,
his fault.
I forgot to do eBay last week. I'm going to remedy that presently. The most expensive listed item on eBay this week, Doctor Who related, is the 2013 Doctor Who 50th Anniversary TARDIS $200 gold-proof... How do you fit all this in one line? Gold-proof coin box... COA issue 250 and a bargain, a snip at £2,799.95 plus £19.99 postage. Bargain. Right. So I'm just
I was going to tell you guys, you know how they are going to release the Underwater Menace in the UK first, and just because I wanted to get her signature, though I probably will never meet her, is I went ahead and pre-ordered the Underwater Menace with Annika Wills' autograph on it. So,
or as they call it on the Fashion
too,
Blade.
But I don't care. I can play All Regions DVDs. But
hello!
I just want to say,
how did you get on?
I have just now finally connected.
Yeah, I was just talking about you.
How'd you lose burning? Everything?
I've no my entire internet connection went down. The desktop, the laptop, both our iPhone.
Yeah, but
the
you
iPad,
said Stormageddon did it. What did he do? Vomit on it? I mean, how did
That's
he manage
your
to
router?
No, I think Stormageddon decided he's not going to play. So then that was it.
Attention.
He wanted to go to bed. The little so and so kept us up at 3 o'clock on Saturday morning. That was it. We were finished. Good night's sleep last night, but I think he decided, no, we're not getting sleep. But that's it. I connected first time, and after you had a chat with Dawn, but that was it. Bang, woomph, forget it. Not going to play. And here's me with all my notes written ready.
Oh,
I sat and watched
God.
It in the bath this afternoon on the
iPad.
You said
you watched it in the bath.
Mm. I had it. I got it on cardboard box by the side of the bath
with the iPad.
So
there was
that
a great Flanders. There was a great Flanders and Swan song called "In the Bath."
Well, it was. I was in the bath. I've got the iPad there. I've got a pot of tea with me. I was happily sipping my tea, watching it. I've got pad and paper, everything. Yeah, and then Stormageddon said, "No, you're not doing it. Sorry, Daddy. No way, Jose." Have you all seen the picture of the Stormageddon card?
Yes. That's why
that was so funny. That was. He's a friend of ours. He's actually friends of Dawn's from her Essex days. Right. Who saw the card, bought it, posted it, and then somebody after, I think it was Jeff Ward afterwards, said, "Are you going to call me Stormageddon?" After that card had been posted.
Right.
It
Can
was
we do
so
a little bit
funny,
of a rewind here? Can we do a little bit of a rewind? Because the last time you were on the show this evening, you weren't actually on the show because we hadn't actually really properly started recording it. So we're going to go out to the beginning now.
We're starting again.
More or less. I'd like to welcome everyone on the show.
I know the answers.
It's Daddy!
Yay!
Yes! Yay! I tell you what, it is the most unbelievable, brilliant feeling ever.
Until they hit 13.
Well, yes. 13. I'll be 63 then.
No.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I'm 50. I'm 50 in June.
And that's when he's going to kick off and start being very difficult. keep your health up.
They're going to probably say your kid, you probably, when he's in high school or whatever, when you go visit any events, your friend, his school friends be like, oh, is that your grandfather there?
Yeah.
That's my father.
Jason, I wish that happened.
I get that.
First person gets
loved. Sorry, Kirby, how old are you then, Kirby, please? I don't know.
Older than Doctor Who.
So 1,200 years old.
How old's Fred then?
She's 21.
But how old's Louisa?
21.
Hang on. So you must be about 53, I guess.
More.
Oh, or be quiet.
55.
That's enough. That's all I'm saying.
In that case, Kirby, then probably the age difference between you and Fred and me and Zach is probably about the same, I guess.
Yes, can we move on? Right. Andy, what did you think of the story?
I watched it last night.
Oh, no.
No, well, that was... I should have asked him at the beginning, shouldn't I?
No, on there. Yeah.
Oh, Andy.
Oh, really Andy, sure. You're breaking up.
Andy, I think Stormageddon's had a go at your internet again.
Okay. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoy it.
Oh, well, that's at least we got that out of it. Thank you very much, Andy. Yeah, come on.
Really enjoyed it. I thought it was an excellent story. It was
Love after love. Yeah.
Right, so
while you try and get Stormageddon to reinstate your internet, I'll move back to eBay for a bit. Apparently, the item on eBay with the most bids, the most expensive one of the bids against it is a 1970 VW Beetle based promotional vehicle film prop, sci-fi Doctor Who Star Trek EMP, or MP? Don't know what that is. £740. I think it's just a car that's been made to look like something alien. Hasn't actually been featured in Doctor Who or Star Trek, but because it's got Doctor Who in the title. But it's got £740 against it. So I'm not going to count that. Because it's not proper Doctor Who. Is it, Debbie?
Nope.
However, the mega rare complete set of four unmade 1978 Doctor Who Weetabix boxes and all figures. Yes? How much do you reckon that is then?
Oh, hundreds?
It's £555. 21 bids
Ooh,
against
heavy.
It. Heavy? What do you mean heavy?
550 something.
Oh, God. Is this being contagious or something?
Oh, my goodness.
Good grief.
Kirby, you're breaking up now, too.
Apparently, Kirby. Someone has started streaming Elsa in the house.
Elsa? Who's Elsa? Is there that one out of Frozen?
Let it go.
Let it go. Let it go. I don't know what the words are.
Can't hold it back anymore.
Can you? We'll try to. We've got a few minutes left of the show yet. Anyway,
we don't have to go for 2 hours, you know.
I know. I'm trying to finish the show. You keep on blimmin' interrupting me. Grief. Right. Yes, I was on eBay, wasn't I?
You know, it's a hard and fast rule.
That's what she said. No, no. She
Hello again.
Pardon?
Hello.
Hello.
It's back again.
Yeah. You all died again, and Kirby died.
It was you.
Yeah, that was.
I'm sorry. Adina has started singing some song or other. There we go. Yeah.
Kingdom of isolation.
Oh no, he's off again. He's gone.
No,
can't hear you.
Anyway.
Can't understand you.
Hello, can you make me
vaguely?
Don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be.
Oh, dear.
You can't hear me then.
Vaguely. Occasionally.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes, yes.
Yeah, but not very often. Not when we're actually saying something.
Sometimes, wasn't it? Ooh, sometimes. Let them know.
Well, now they.
gone share.
Has she gone share? What, Adina? Oh, I'm losing the will to blooming podcast at this rate. Right then. Yes, I'm still trying to do eBay.
Stress toy on eBay. That's quite
I've got my stress cow here, stressy cow from Monty
but
Python.
The stress weeping angel's quite cute.
There's a thought.
You've seen my stressy cow, and I don't mean a she.
Weeping angel. Oh, I'll relax now.
Have you seen my stressy cow, Debbie?
Yeah, I've seen your stressy cow.
Have you felt it?
How dare you call your wife that? Sorry, I had the shot and took it. Yeah, I've seen your stressy cow.
Sorry, I didn't get that. The Dina was just singing over that. Sorry.
It's all right. No, I've seen it, yeah.
Oh, what, my stressy cow?
Yeah.
I got it from Monty Python, you know. No, it was from Spamalot. Sorry, yeah.
Spamalot, yeah.
I like Spamalot, it's funny. I reckon Kirby should go and see it.
It's come to Atlanta several times, but I just haven't been able to see it.
Well, you've missed out.
Yes, I have.
Right, I'm giving up on eBay because there's nothing on it that people are actually bidding against.
Nothing?
Nothing.
People aren't selling anything anymore.
They're selling
okay.
stuff, but nobody wants to buy anything.
I want to finish my Titan collection. I'm missing two Doctors from my little Titan.
Which ones are you missing? I've got two.
I'm missing Troughton.
No, I haven't got that one.
And McGann.
No, nope, I haven't got that one either.
Yeah, but they're on here, so... Yeah,
what do you mean,
eBay,
they're on eBay?
Yeah,
what are you trying to get?
Hey?
What are you trying to get, Debbie?
The little Titans, they're little 3-inch vinyls. I've found that they sort of had them in blind bags down in one of our local shops, and... I managed to collect almost all of the Doctors, apart from those two. Stop it. Death, merciful hand.
Andy's back online.
Is it?
Andy!
He keeps bouncing in and out.
Yeah, Andy. No, he's not there at all.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my god.
Is it in your head now?
Yeah.
I'm singing it now.
Jerry's on Strictly Come Dancing at the moment.
Yes.
Yeah. He needs to be with somebody or other. Probably Jenna Coleman, I expect. Now, that was a bit I was trying to play all along. I didn't realise that particular chorus was so infrequent within the song. Anyway, somebody said that was reggae. Was that you, Jason?
Yes.
No, it's not reggae. It's just crap. Right. So next week we're going to be looking at... What's the title of the next episode, Kirby?
I don't remember.
What?
I don't remember ever hearing what it is.
Wow. Kirby doesn't know something about Doctor Who.
I closed the Wikipedia page. Sorry.
Oh, of course, that would have been on
Wikipedia.
It would
have
been obviously correct. That deserves a bit of a... Oh, shit.
It's called Before the Flood.
Before the Flood, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Of course. Oh, Kirsty Gallagher's on the telly.
Are you trying to scare away our listeners by playing that?
Will you stop it? It's really mean.
Doctor Who reference.
Unfortunately, yeah.
It is now.
Yeah. Yes, anyway, sorry. Essentially, I was just trying to get people to sum up. You lot all went fry it? Quiet.
We went fry it, everyone. Yeah.
Sum up what?
Your feelings, what you're looking forward to and hoping for the next... Oops, sorry, just knocked my microphone. The next episode of Doctor
To Man. Not be a Clara-centric...
Yes, yeah, I think story. We mentioned that a few times. Right.
Yes.
I want it to be more of the running about and the Doctor... And Doctor-centered again. I really do enjoy it.
I'm very curious about this Fisher King character.
Yes, that's going to be interesting. How are they going to properly introduce that?
The actor inside the costume is the tallest man in Britain, whoever that is.
I didn't know that. I didn't know anything about this Fisher King, Kingfisher, whatever it's called. Interesting enough that Isabella's class at school is Kingfisher class, so there's a bit of a Doctor Who reference there.
There you go. You better tell her that.
Yeah. Tell who that?
Isabella.
Oh, that's the wrong bit. I'll try this bit. No, that's not it either. No, that's not it.
Can I hang up yet?
Yeah.
There we go.
Are we done? Are we done?
There's a Doctor Who reference to this tune.
Your viewership just went down
after this week. That's Ultravox in Vienna. Do you not watch
okay.
Cold War?
Yes.
Pay attention then. Pardon?
Sorry. I am paying attention. It sounds like Debbie is falling asleep.
It's 10 Where is it? And I've got to work in the morning.
Yeah, I haven't got work in the morning.
Is that why we're carrying on?
I did do a 10-hour shift.
I guess so. He doesn't know where he has to be.
I'm going to finish in a minute. Right. Oh, what's this?
Ooh. I don't know. You won't. You haven't told us yet.
Another tune to play. Remember that?
Yeah, that's pretty clear. That clue reference.
Hmm. Oh, there's a rubbish one on there. Somebody called Dominic Glynn. Yeah, I'm not going to play any of that. Anyway, right, so next week we'll be looking at the second part of this story. I don't know how late it's going to be. The claim was that it's late on this week because it was quite scary. I thought
yeah, that
good
was
fun.
The claim, yeah. Strictly.
But I think it'll be on slightly early.
Are we recording at the same time?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
You said the episode was on late. What is late?
Well, it was on 8.
Late for Doctor Who.
So it was at 8:40, Debbie.
8 o'clock, because they used to show it at like 7:15.
Mm. Okay.
But it was really scary. Like Blink, you know, they show Blink at 7:15. Mm. But no.
This was scarier than Blink.
It isn't.
Yes, it is.
It's always on at the same time on BBC America.
Yeah, and
it's always on at 9.
It used to be on the same time every week. When it first came back as well, it was on at the same time, and now they move it every week.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they're moving it
It gets earlier and earlier, because every time they kick somebody off strictly.
Yeah, exactly. They move it. So you're not sat down same time every night as a family, every weekend night as a family, you know, doing the shows like you used to. No. They just rely on streaming.
I haven't really considered that fact, actually. Well done, Dave. Anyway, so that's what we'll be doing next week. Recording at the same time, but Doctor Who was on slightly earlier. So until next week, thank you to everybody for being on the show. Thanks, everybody, listening to the show. And tune in again. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
And good night, everybody.
Oh, good night, Debbie.
I'm coming.
Hello to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. This is Patrick from North Hollywood with my feedback for Under the Lake. Again, I'm going to speak in generalities. So far this season, I've really enjoyed the pacing of these longer two-part episodes. This one's no exception. I felt in Under the Lake, there were times you could tell there was a little bit of filler. The monologues were a little bit longer. Some of the scenes you could see, you could definitely tell that if this was a one-part story, they would definitely left them on the cutting room floor. But I do feel they did add character. It did build up some of the background of some of the other characters. I think it lays a really good solid groundwork for what's going to be an exciting finale. I think it's really clever how they're kind of working in, figuring out where the ghosts are from, how the ship plays a part, this mysterious pilot of the ship, they've retrieved the casket. I really like the fact that they have, you know, a deaf or hearing impaired actress in it, and they've kind of worked it into the plot. I think that's really cool. I don't think I've seen that before in Doctor Who. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's really great, you know, adding to the diversity of the show. In general, I just really like the episode. I'm a big fan of these Base Under Siege kind of episodes. You know, at the beginning, it kind of reminded me of Aliens, you know, the sequel to Alien. You know, where the evil company guy sneaks off and does something evil. Because I initially thought that it was, I forget the character's name, the guy who died in the wetsuit and the diving suit. I thought he had changed the night cycle back to day. I mean, the day cycle back to night to let the ghosts out. But, you know, that was kind of a red herring. He ended up being a victim. But, yeah, it kind of reminded me of Aliens, you know, the base and the computerized map and the tracking of the aliens, you know, the ghosts in this case, and using human bait. Things like that. So lots of good throwbacks in this episode. Really enjoyed it. The flashcards that Clara gave the Doctor, I think they were funny and clever. Kind of let you know there were so many. She had such a thick stack. You can tell they had been on a lot of travels in between the last time we saw them, because she has them at the ready for him to give proper responses that aren't so doctorish and inoffensive to other beings that he meets. So I thought that was really fun. Anyway, yep, so that's my general thoughts. Love the episode. Can't wait to see how it finishes. Again, as I stated before, I really like the pace of these longer, long-form episodes. It reminds me of old-school, classic Doctor Who, just in the pacing alone, letting it breathe. I mean, I love the show since it's come back, obviously, but some of the stories seem rushed for 45 or 50 minutes or however long they have, 1 hour. You know, and this one's, you know, the side effect is that maybe you'll have stories that seem to play on a little bit too long because you stretch them into two, but I'd rather have that than a super condensed story where there's lots of where everything is solved in the last 5 minutes with no lead up or hints to it before. And I think with the two-parters, you get the chance to lay the groundwork of the mystery and the answer to the mystery too. So anyway, that's my 2 cents. Hope you guys have a great week.
Well, good afternoon, 20 megabytes, Andy Lynn here. It's 6 minutes past 12 on Monday afternoon, and the damage that Stormageddon than he had done to the internet has now been fixed, so we're up and running again. Annoying last night, I was all ready, got my notes, I'd eat watch you on the bath, and apparently I sounded even worse than Cher, so do you believe in love at first sight? Well, I certainly don't believe in the internet at first sight, it would appear, but anyway, Saturday night now, isn't it? I forget it's Monday. The Witch is Familiar. Superb episode, and really was. I think we are now seeing a darker Doctor, a more mysterious Doctor. We're playing on the fact he's an older Doctor, therefore he's got to be more of a thinking Doctor. I've made this point several times before. He's not going to be the action man that of other people, because I mean he's even older than me. He's even older than Kirby, so he must be ancient. But he's interesting as well, the way he wants people to go along with him. When he asked the question, he said, "Come on, what's the question? Come on, you must be clever by osmosis." He thinks people should be able to spot this, and he's encouraging him to think and to do things. He's going to take the lead, but he's going to make sure people come along with him. You know, that when we had people running around the base, there's a plan there. He convinced them all, I suppose, the fact that he's unit, you know, he's got an authority anyway. But people will believe him, people trust him. I mean, Clara, certainly, with the, anyone think of Spock when she put her hand up on the mirror in response to him? Yeah, I certainly did that as well. That'd be Wrath of Khan? Was he in the Wrath of Khan? Yeah, and so, you know, when he kills him off for the first time. However, a lot of memes in this one, there was definitely aliens. You know, running around the base like that, yeah, that was aliens. And, of course, a bit of the Davison, flipping heck, I can't remember the one with the Salarians in, I cannot think. Warriors of the Deep, yeah, Warriors on Sheep, that one as well. So we had a little bit of that as well. But the ghosts as well, I'm trying to think, what did they remind me of? Was it the Crimson Horror? There's one of the stories, one of the Matt Smith stories, which is something similar. Not quite the Silence, but again, it's an interesting concept. And when you do come back with the ghosts that aren't ghosts that are ghosts. Yeah, I love the line, "I'm coming back to haunt you." It wasn't the quote. My quote actually was going to be, "Hands up, who expected that?" Anyone else get that one? Obviously a bit late to do my quote now. I think it's taking the story forward. Are we going to see, is this going to be end of Clara? Will he get up for Clara? Now, he's killed the Doctor's dead. Well, clearly the Doctor isn't dead, otherwise it might be a very, very short series, wouldn't it, you know, and so can't do that. Cabin in the Woods, I like that reference to, again, another film reference, but one that here quoted by a character in the story itself, I think. Is that a first, when somebody likens it to a film? And it's interesting as well, I've talked about the fact that he leads them on, the fact that when he says, well, you can all go, I'd rather you go, and they all decide to stay, and everyone decides to stay because Miss Cass said, you know, well, said, I suppose, yeah, well, she did say, yes, I mean, sign is a language, so you can say it with sign language, that it's not my responsibility at all, therefore I'm staying for me, which is interesting. Of course, the signee had to stay as well, and Alice stayed, and Bennett decided, yeah, what the hell, why not, you know, it's an interesting, I suppose, when you're in that sort of situation, when you know that, you know, your number could well be up, then we might as well, you know, what's kicking against it? Let's go with the flow and see what happens. At least we're going to, you know, you won't die wondering. But anyway, I was I was disappointed I missed it yesterday, because I've got my some answers ready. I've got Aberdeen as one answer. I've got Shirley Bassey as another answer. Clockwork Squirrel, I'm sure that one came up. And there was right, and then second left, and T-junction, 10 seconds, 50 yards. What's in a temple? You can't see that at the end. You can't really see it yet. So, yeah. Earworm. That's another good one as well. So I think this, you know, this has got a very good positive reaction on Facebook. And there's a lot of the old, some old time fans don't like it, but I think you're going to get the Moffat haters, and it's Moffat, therefore I'm not going to like it by simple, it's Moffat. Jeff Waddle, though, I think, he came up with some very positive thoughts about it, so thanks for that, Jeff, as well. I look forward to listening to this. It's quite interesting that, obviously, only having heard a few brief bits when I was able to go in, I guess Adam, you'll probably edit me out anyway, but there you go. So there you go, folks. Well, yeah, hopefully this will get through and Stormageddon won't have knackered the internet completely around here again. And until then, be seeing you.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APB Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.